Everyone is on.
Introducing
Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Let's get it.
Boss. B-O-S-S.
Hello. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington, and I'm excited once again. I have a very special guest today. Her name is Ashley Kelly, and she's the founder of Ashley Kelly Design, which is an interior design firm, and she also does architecture. And I'm really glad to have her on the show today. We were actually part of a panel discussion this past week, sponsored by Tribe Life, which is a platform for Black women to build generational wealth and, you know, just help each other to learn about different topics of investing, real estate, stock market, whatever have you, building your own business. So I was excited to be a part of that panel. Ashley was the moderator, but she's got her own very interesting real estate story. So I'm super excited to have her on today. So how you doing, Ashley?
I am phenomenal. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thank you for coming on. I know it's been crazy during quarantine. Everybody's, you know, had something on Zoom, and there's Zoom happy hours, there's panels, there's webinars, there's all this stuff.
So. I am always on Zoom. All the time.
Appreciate it. All right. So first and foremost, let's talk about you and how you got interested in real estate in the first place.
Oh man, I became interested in real estate as a young girl when my parents were first shopping for homes. I had seen my first model home in Vallejo, California, and I was just ecstatic. I was like, whatever this is, I want to do this. And at the time I was probably 10 years old. So after I seen that model home, they kept taking me to see model homes on the weekend, and I just fell in love with architecture at that time. And then once I graduated from high school, or in the midst of high school, I found out that it was something I could actually study. So that's when, after graduating high school, I was like, I already know, hands down, I'm going into the interior design and architecture world.
So how was your journey throughout college doing architecture? Because there's definitely not a lot of women that are architects. So how was that experience?
The experience was really good. I first started with interior design. And of course, it was more women there. But as far as like Black women, probably only two in a class, if that. But it was great, like built really good relationships with other women there and other students. The architecture side, of course, that's when it just totally switched over to all men, and especially not too many African-American men either. But all in all, it was a really good experience from both campuses. I started at a community college and then transferred over to Academy of Art in San Francisco.
So you are from the Bay Area originally, from Oakland, and then now you live in Las Vegas. So tell us about that transition and why you decided on that Vegas market.
So Vegas was a city I had always traveled to with family while adolescence, juvenile. And every time I would go, it was this area, or it still is there, but an area on Las Vegas Boulevard where I just got so much inspiration. And it's like directly across the street from Caesar's Palace. And every time I would go, I would always stand in that same location. And I'm like, this place is just speaking to me in some way, shape, or form, looking at these huge resorts and everything. And this was kind of when I was thinking more so on the lines of hospitality design. I was just like, you know, this is something I can see myself doing or being in this atmosphere. And at the time I was working at Oakland Airport for Starbucks, and the company I was with was in a lot of airports, pretty much every airport in the United States and even internationally. So I had the opportunity to transfer to any airport that I desired, and I decided on Vegas. And I left all my family, friends, new relationship, and came by myself. And it was here where I was like, you know what? Homes here are very affordable. I can do this. I can purchase. I had always had a goal to own a home by the age of 30. So I was able to purchase when I was 28. And that was just like a big accomplishment for me, especially being like the first kid in my family or immediate family to be a homeowner. That meant a lot for my family. And yeah, Vegas has been awesome. It's definitely different from California, but the fact that I was able to make a home here and build a business here, it's been awesome.
So now let's get into it about this business. So when did you start it? And then can you just give us a like example of a project or a home that you worked on that was like particularly stood out for you?
So let's see. What was the first part of the question?
When did you start the firm? And I guess also throw in there, like, what was the inspiration for starting your own firm instead of going to work for somebody else? And then what was like a memorable project that you worked on?
Okay, so the Ashley Kelly Design came to life in my very first interior design class in 2007, because we had to actually create a business as a project. And I created this business, had to do a business plan, had to do everything that pertains to it, and we had to present it. And when we presented it, there was a lot of like industry leaders present, and they were like, you really have something. Like, you could take this business plan that you created and start a business today if you had to. And at the time I was still working full time, but I did get like a boost of encouragement and started trying to like push myself. Mind you, I had no type of experience besides the class I was in. But to hear that these professionals felt like I was onto something, I was like, it's worth a shot. So from there, I was able to get a job in the interior design industry. And this is where I pretty much felt my first difference in being Black. So school was good, but this job, it was very clear to me that it was levels to this. And I was the youngest one there, the only African American. So it was challenging, and it was like new to me, because I'm like, what the heck is this? And then I just found out it was pure racism. But
especially coming from like Oakland, predominantly, right. You know.
And this was in like not East Palo Alto, like Menlo Park. Very ritzy area, really nice area, but it was very evident. And so after being with that company probably 8 months, I still had I went back to my job at the airport. And from there, that job took precedence because I kept getting promoted. And so Ashley Kelly Design just went on the back burner, like without me even doing it intentionally. And so, which actually got Ashley Kelly Design to where it is today, is me actually being furloughed due to COVID. So being that I had this free time that I have never had since starting to work at 15, I'm like, I'm not about to look for another job. I'm just about to continue with Ashley Kelly Design, pivot it, and go from there. So ever since April, I've just been making extreme headways with it. To get it to where it is. So that's how the company started. When it comes to a project, I would say so far the most exciting, I was able to participate while working with a firm in San Francisco. And this firm was really good because she helped me pretty much build Ashley Kelly Design to where it is with like the model and the structure and how it's done. We were able to design a penthouse that the creator of Dropbox lives in San Francisco. So that was amazing. Like, he lives in a Millennium building, well, did live in a Millennium building in San Francisco. So that was really nice. Also doing a project for the St. Regis in San Francisco, which was awesome. And just seeing the big budgets that we're working with and textiles that's being flown in from different countries. That was tremendous.
Some huge projects and some very memorable, notable names, especially for a small firm just getting started. So that's amazing. But now I want to shift to talk about like, all right, say if it's a new project, a new client that you're taking on, what's kind of your process for you know, designing a new space, or if you're doing it as far as architecture, what's your process for designing something like that?
Now, with interior design, it's always pretty much just finding out what the client wants done. That could be anything from just aesthetics to actually doing a remodel where demolition is involved and just changing the way the entire house or space looks. Or it could even be adding in addition to the existing property. So I would start with finding out what that is and definitely what the needs of the client is, because it's really going to vary if you're designing for a family of five versus just a couple who have no kids. So definitely finding out what their goals are for the space and of course their budget, because it's extremely important to stay on budget. And when you're dealing with remodels, you can definitely run into the unforeseen circumstances where budget is definitely changing because there's just things you have to fix. Whereas if it's something where you're just getting furnishings and dealing with the look of the space, you can definitely stay on budget. And after getting that information, finding out if what I want to do is actually feasible. So seeing if you can knock certain walls down or are they structural. So definitely seeing that, putting together your mood board to present to the clients with, you know, this is the carpet I'm thinking, the tile for the bathroom, the bathtub, the hardware. And then once they okay it, we start sourcing everything and purchasing and scheduling the installation date, demolition if it needs to happen, and then putting the final toppings of accessories on it.
Are there any like newer design trends or stuff that's come out maybe within the past couple of years that you feel are like really hot, or design trends that are people are asking for that really will add value to a property if you do this?
Since COVID, the fact that everyone's staying home and companies are transitioning to no longer having brick and mortar, people are staying at home. And so they're trying to get the most out of the space that they currently occupy. So for me, that was like, personally, I'm like, you know, I'm gonna build a tiny home in my backyard, you know, because I'm like, I already possess the land and the space to do it. And it could be income generating. I don't really desire a swimming pool or anything, so I'm going that route. Whereas some people are really going for, you know, adding the additions and swimming pools, really getting their backyard landscape done for home entertaining, creating theaters. You know, definitely it's a ton of remodels right now. You know, everybody is ready to swap out that old countertop, new cabinets. So, a trend for me that I'm really enjoying, and it's been around for a long time, but it's pretty much the black trim on the windows. Like, that's becoming really popular. And for Vegas, the reason why I think Ashley Kelly Design is so important is because we don't really do too much variety out here. And so my company, and with the development that I'm planning to create, we will definitely bring that variety that I'm looking for and that I feel other home buyers will be looking for as well.
As far as the Las Vegas market, where do you see the most opportunity right now?
Our home sales are going crazy. Like, it's definitely a seller's market here. And then also buyers because of just the low interest rates. But new homes are definitely flying off the charts, even pre-existing homes. They're doing really well. I had just actually went to see some new home communities, and they're like, you know, we're extremely busy. We're pretty much sold out. So it's definitely booming as far as real estate sales. And also land. So I see people are really getting into starting to develop things. So I spend most of my day looking for lands, you know, to see what's out there to definitely build this residential community.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned about tiny homes. And one thing I saw that you posted about is an accessory dwelling unit. Can you explain maybe to some people, because like, where I'm from, DC, and like up north and the northeast, they don't really have that much land that comes with your property unless you, you know, specifically buying something like that. But I know that's like a hot trend now in Cali, in the West, even in Florida here, like a lot of people are looking for extra land come with their property so they can do accessory dwelling units. So can you explain a little bit about what that is and what you're, you know, like what kind of things that you're thinking about as far as like tiny homes, building those?
Yeah, so California recently, because there is a land shortage, California loosened up their laws for allowing homeowners to build on the land that they possess. So the fact that I believe California has given them about 5 years. So in the midst of this, accessory dwelling units are booming in California because it's very expensive and people with these yards now have the okay to build these homes, which in essence they can rent out for short-term rentals and create income. So to give an example of what an ADU is, which is accessory dwelling unit, that's pretty much building an additional dwelling on your current property line, but is detached from your pre-existing home. So it's that in-law that's in the back, a guest house, casita, but a lot of people are definitely going the tiny home route, which is pretty much a home that's 500 square foot or less. And so people are being really creative. Like there's a business out there that's converting garages to, I don't want to call it ADU, but it's attached, but he's pretty much changing garages into living spaces. And a lot of people are going that route because of cost savings. Tiny homes are not too expensive to build, but definitely using your garage saves an exponential amount of money. So people are really getting creative. And then here in Vegas, where our homes do have that extra square foot of backyard, people are building these tiny homes. And so I'm building one of my own. And I could have went the route of using a company to do it. There's not too many companies out here, which is why I was like, okay, I'm definitely filling a void that's missing because they're all in Southern California. And their markups was just crazy. And I'm like, there is no way I'm paying $100,000 for this tiny home. I'm like, I could build this myself easily for 20 grand. And so I was like, I'll take the time. It'll be a great experience for me. So I was able to find a architect, general contractor, engineers, everything to just do it myself and really just cut that savings down.
Are you using shipping containers or are you building a stick built?
Originally, I was thinking of going the shipping container route, but because of measurements, it doesn't make it impossible, but it does make it expensive because I would need a crane to lift. And so I think for people who live on 1 acre land or even just a bigger plot than mine, who built custom homes and have that space, they can definitely easily put a container. But for me, it's just, it takes a little more work. So I'm going to do by stick.
But still 20 grand, even 50 grand is like nothing, you know, and you get
exactly
a whole nother unit. And then if you rent it short-term rental in Vegas or in Cali, these more expensive areas, like you can make that, you can almost make that whole money back in a year.
In a year, easily. Yes. So ooh. I was like, I definitely got to go this route instead of paying someone.
All right. So, you know, on this show, we always got to talk about just specifically like women of color in real estate. We're the minority for sure. So there, besides what you were mentioning in architecture school, has there been any other experience that you had where it was kind of like a challenge or trial and tribulation that you had as a woman of color in real estate?
So far in real estate, no. And it was actually surprising because I hate to say that I was anticipating it, but in Vegas, I'm not sure if it's just a matter of this city just being a true melting pot, but the people who I've been coming across working with, building rapport with, I get no inkling that it's going to be problems regarding race. I feel like in California, I may have a little more pushback or a bit more of a challenge, But I do kind of anticipate it when it comes to me obtaining loans. I feel like it's definitely going to come there. My mentor and investor has been just saying, you know, prepare for it because it is going to be a bit more challenging because you're a young African-American female. So they're not going to make handing you some money easy. So I'm anticipating that. But so far, people are really loving what I'm doing. And it's coming from all races. So that's been really good.
No, that's good. And then what is a good thing with all this stuff that's going on in the world, George Floyd and everything, like people are starting to open their eyes a little bit. And there's a whole bunch of new grants and programs and loan programs specifically for people of color, specifically for Black women. So that is one thing that's good that's come out of it. So hopefully you can get in tune with some of those programs that help, you know, easier as far as the funding goes.
Right. I've definitely gotten some of my grant applications in, so I should be hearing back from those, and fingers crossed we get it.
Cool. All right. So what do you have coming up next as far as Ashley Kelly or either any personal or professional projects you have coming up in the future?
So with Ashley Kelly Design, since my goal is to build that residential community, I'm going to actually crowdfund for the cost of the land parcel as well as the utilities should it not be included. And I have some really good investors on board, but because I'm a person who believes in allowing my community the opportunity to invest in things from the ground up, I definitely want to go that crowdfunding route to give people that opportunity. So that's what I'm working on now to start that campaign by January. So just looking for land, and that's really where I'm putting all my effort into getting that land parcel and that crowdfunding campaign together.
Okay, awesome. Well, you got an investor here, so Thank you. Keep me abreast. And just, I would love to just learn about the process in general of, you know, getting the crowdfunding campaign organized and, you know, developing the land and all that kind of stuff. So definitely going to be staying tuned to everything you have going on.
For sure.
All right. Well, let me move into the last segment of the show, which is called The Fabulous Four. And it's just four questions I ask all the guests. So whatever comes to mind, just go for it. All right. So the first question is, what is your favorite real estate book?
The Airbnb story. And I love Airbnb. Like, I was a host for like 3 years and it was awesome. So that was a good book for me.
Okay. Good book. And they're going public soon.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. I check every day, like, has it happened? Like, I'm really waiting for that.
Yeah, they did the private paperwork or something, so they should be going public maybe by first or second quarter 2021. So that would be interesting for sure. Okay, cool. The second question is, knowing what you know now, what's some advice that you would give to your younger self just getting started in real estate?
Just getting started, I would say, don't procrastinate. I'm not upset at the length of time it took. But I would say if I could tell my younger self to say, girl, just do it. It's not as hard as you think to get started. I would be further. I don't want to say better off, but I'll be further in my career right now.
I feel like you just shot me in the heart. that was advice for me too. And it also goes into like everything that has to be perfect. Like just do it, get some of it done and just, you know, constantly get better as you go rather than be overwhelmed by, you know, everything at once. So that's great advice. All right, cool. The third question is, what topic in real estate do you want to learn more about?
Prior to meeting you, it was commercial real estate, because when I search for land, a lot of it is zoned for commercial. And I'm like, I wonder if this is something I'll be interested in, you know? Like, I wonder if I could kind of push the envelope a bit and put commercial at the bottom of some condominiums or something. So I would definitely say commercial. And then also I had wanted to discuss like your mobile home venture, what you're doing with that. Because when I heard it, I was like, whoa, like she's on to something, because Florida is big on mobile home communities. So That was pretty interesting.
Same thing is like you were talking about the tiny homes, like it's kind of along the same lines. And then that commercial, I think definitely you're on to something with that, because with the whole work from home new normal that we're going through, like you mentioned earlier, I could see a lot of communities for their retail space having more of those like urgent care and obviously more grocery stores for every community and stuff like that. So you don't have to travel as far. People can go right downstairs and do anything that they need to do. So
yeah.
Yes.
That's definitely the direction we're going.
Yep. So yeah, no, I'm happy to help. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have about that. And yeah, let's build. All right. Yeah. So the last question, not really a question, but can you please give a shout out to one other woman that's doing some amazing things right now in real estate?
Oh man, Brittany Rogers in Houston. She's killing it. Like, she's definitely somebody I admire and look up to. She's definitely gonna be on my vision board for 2021, because I'm like, I gotta work with her some way, somehow. She's awesome.
Shout out to her. She's definitely killing it. Like, one of the main, I guess, general contractor women and developers that I know. She's based in Houston. So yeah, she's definitely killing it. Shout out to her.
Yeah.
All right. So lastly, how can people get in contact with you? How can they follow you to see all the great projects that you're working on now?
So my website is ashleykellydesign.com. As well as Instagram, Ashley Kelly Design, and I'm also on LinkedIn, and the Kelly does have the K-E-L-L-E-Y, so Ashley Kelly Design on every platform.
All right, any last words, any other just gems you want to drop for us real quick?
Let me see. For anyone who's just interested in this business, like, definitely get into it. There is not too many of us, but I think that we are powerful in who we are. So don't let the numbers like deter you and think that because you'll be the only one or because it's not a million of us. Like, I think our force is definitely present. So any encouragement you need, the resources are definitely out there. So I don't want anyone to be like taken aback because it's not an area that we dominate in, because I feel like we are in the midst of dominating. So
absolutely, I always say, like, use your diversity and use the fact that you're different to an advantage, because you're memorable, you stand out. And thank you to organizations like Tribe that are bringing us Black queens together, trying to build and do things that we historically have been kept away from. So appreciate everything like that. So thank you so much for being the show. I can't wait for everybody to hear the episode. I'm excited to just continue to follow your progress and everything you have going on. So
thank you.
This was really amazing. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, y'all, this is again another episode of Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Thank you again to my guest, Ashley Kelly of Ashley Kelly Design, Interior Design and Architecture. And my name is Jessica Washington. I'll see y'all in the next one.
Bye.